Please stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us today for IBM's teleconference, Migrating to Kixt, Based SOA Environment. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn about important Kixt migration considerations from preparation to execution. You'll get details on which tools can ease your version-to-version migration, no matter how limited your application development staff or skills. The speaker for today's teleconference is Peter Seidel, Kixt Tools Specialist, Software Engineer. And at this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Peter Seidel.
Thank you, and welcome everyone to today's webcast, Migrating to a Kixt-Based SOA Environment. What I'd like to cover today is talking briefly about service-oriented architecture, or SOA as it's known in the business, and what the implications are for Kixt transaction server users in terms of implementation of a service-oriented architecture. What I'll also look at is a sample scenario on how you may want to implement SOA within Kixt, but it will be a sample scenario. It may not be the solution that you choose, and there may be other ways in which you can implement SOA, but we will talk about those when we actually get to that part of the presentation. So let me launch straight away into slide number 2 in the presentation, and this really talks about the overview of what SOA is. SOA, from a business perspective, is a set of business or process, organizational, governance, and technical methods to reduce or eliminate frustrations within IT, quantifiably measuring IT's business value, and creating an agile business environment for competitive advantage. Now, that's the industry hype that currently surrounds SOA, but when we actually look at implementing these types of methodologies, we look at it from the technical perspective. And what the technical perspective means to us is SOA is a way for different computers from different vendors with different programs from different functional areas of the business or externally outside customers, suppliers and vendors to actually get our systems to intelligently talk and exchange data with each other. So it's a next step on systems integration. Within Kixt Transaction Server, the strategy for this is to deliver a set of capabilities that will allow your existing Kixt applications that have been in existence probably for many years now to evolve and participate in more flexible business models. This is consistent with IBM's continued investment in the mainframe and joins with the latest version of WebSphere, DB2, and IMS, enabling companies to deploy web services to benefit from a service-oriented architecture based on a set of standards. The key to an on-demand enterprise is to employ flexible business models implemented through composable processes, which in turn call composable services. At the heart of the SOA architecture are the building blocks of development, infrastructure, and management. The focus of Kixt Transaction Server version 3.1 is to align with the building blocks of a service-oriented architecture and to deliver a set of capabilities which provide customer value by enabling business flexibility through IT simplification. The SOA building blocks align to the strategic themes of Kixt Transaction Server version 3. And if we move on to slide number 3, we'll see the themes that are current with Transaction Server. Now, it's not exclusive to Transaction Server version 3 that these themes were first brought in. They actually came in with Transaction Server version 2. And there are three major strategic themes. The first one is Kixt integration, which is enabling the reuse of Kixt applications within flexible IT infrastructures via standard APIs and protocols. And this is what we'll be talking about today. There is also the ability to enable application transformation, which is the enhancement of existing applications and the constructions of new applications using contemporary programming languages, constructs, and tools. And then enterprise management will enable the effective management of large runtime configurations via modern user interfaces so that demanding service level objectives can be met. But as I say, we'll be talking about KIX integration on a larger theme today. If we move on to slide number 4, this will give us an overview of KIX Web Services, which is the major feature of KIX version 3. And KIX version 3 is now providing the capabilities to enable KIX-based applications to be integrated with a service-orientated architecture, enabling them to be exposed as web services. So KIX here has the ability to act as a web services service provider, which it has done in the past, but more importantly, it will now also act as a service requester, which means it can now be seen as fully participating in the business-to-business or B2B world. This infrastructure, provided as part of KIX Transaction Server version 3, includes a distributed transaction coordination capability compatible with the WS Atomic Transaction Specification. It also includes a WS security compatible implementation for securing SOAP messages. And I think current users of Transaction Server version 2 will know that the SOAP feature for KIX was implemented in that release. In order to enable this movement to service provider and service requester, there is a new KIX Web Services Assistant. This is a build-time capability provided to create a WSDL, a Web Services Definition Language document, from a simple language structure or a language structure from an existing WSDL document. This support is provided for the standard languages of COBOL, C, C++, and PL1. And the assistant will also generate information used to enable automatic runtime conversion of the SOAP messages to containers and COM areas, and vice versa. In this area, IBM also intends to release application development tools that will extend IBM's WebSphere Developer for Z series to enable developers with skills in COBOL, PL1, Java, and web services to easily reuse, build, and deploy components that integrate into an enterprise-wide SOA. It will also include BMS map editing and enterprise generation language, EGL, generation supporting the conversion of visual age generator web transactions. In addition, it will also provide a batch program for use by automated software build procedures, such as JCL, which will input the XML schema definition, XSD, or language structure declarations to generate client WSDLs and converters for the KIX Web Services implementation. Now, one point that I want to mention is that the SOAP for KIX features, which we introduced in Transaction Server version 2, is not orderable with Transaction Server version 3. However, we do assist migration for customers who already have this feature. The feature may be used and is supported with KIX Transaction Server version 3, and applications will continue to run. But we do recommend that customers migrate to the web services support capabilities of KIX TS version 3.1. In technical terms, for those people who are currently using SOAP, there are some changes to some of the container names and channels that we're actually using behind the scenes in SOAP, and that's why we recommend that you migrate to web services support. So that's the implementation that we're going through in terms of introducing web services in transaction version 3 so that we can then leverage our SOA environment. If we move on to slide number 5, I'm going to talk a little bit about how KIX will now work as a web service provider, and then we'll look at the alternative as KIX working as a web service requester. So what we have on slide 5 is a diagram that's showing us the flow and the KIX resources necessary to expose an existing application program as a web service, thus allowing KIX to function as a service provider. What will happen here is that the web services assistant will take the language structure or copybook of the business logic application program and generate a WSDL document and a WS bind file. The WSDL document will be used to create the service requester. The WS bind file will be used to tell KIX which program is to be invoked, the interface for that program, container or COM area, and information on how to map the XML message to the interface. Now, these WSDL and WS bind files reside on the HFS structure. There's a number of interrelated resource definitions required to process a web service in Transaction Server version 3.1. And you can see the names of those resources under the configure option on this particular screen. We have a pipeline, a URI map, and a web service. So a resource definition is required to define the transport. And currently, both HTTP and WebSphere MQ series can be used as transports. For HTTP, a KIX TCP IP service definition is required. For WebSphere MQ, a request queue must be defined with a queue local definition. Next, KIX must determine which web service is required. So Transaction Server version 3 will use a URI map definition or a Universal Resource Identifier map definition to map the incoming URI to a specific web service definition. The associated pipeline definition is determined from the matching URI map definition. The pipeline definition is used to specify which processing nodes or message handlers are to operate on a web service request. The web service definition is used to specify how KIX is to execute the application. There will also be a pipeline configuration file on the HFS. The pipeline resource definition will point to the pipeline configuration file. From the pipeline resource, a web service resource and a URI map resource can be automatically installed, so these can be dynamically installed. When a SOAP message arrives through HTTP, the web attach transaction, CWXM, will scan the incoming HTTP request and find a matching URI map resource. When the URI map specifies usage pipeline, KIX will then attach a pipeline transaction, CPIH. CPIH will start the pipeline processing, invoke the handler programs according to the pipeline configuration file. It will use the information from the web service definition and convert the SOAP message into a language structure and link to the target application via COM area or a channel. When the target application returns, the output language structure is converted back to an XML message and will be passed back through the pipeline and sent back to the requester. And again, this transport can also be on WebSphere MQ. The target application can also be run under a different transaction ID, and it can also be routed to different KIX systems connected via MRO. So that's an explanation of KIX as a web service provider. And KIX has been used as a web service provider for a couple of releases now. But if we move on to slide number 6, we can actually see Kix now as a web service requester. And this is how Kix enables us to leverage our SLA environments. So with this diagram, the WSDL document for the remote service provider will be processed through the web services assistant. The utility will generate a language structure, which will be used as an interface from the service requester program and the WS bind file. There will be a pipeline resource pointing to a pipeline configuration file and a web service resource. The service requester program will issue an exec kix invoke web service command, passing the request language structure via a channel interface. Information in the corresponding web service resource will be used to convert the language structure into a SOAP message. The SOAP message will be passed through the pipeline, invoking handler programs according to the pipeline configuration file. It will send the request SOAP message to the remote service provider either via HTTP or WebSphere MQ. When the response SOAP message is received, it will be passed back through the pipeline, converted back into a language structure, and passed back to the service requester program. And one of the questions that comes up quite frequently when I visit customers and talk about SOA implementations is that what kind of information do we get about the fact that when Kix works as a web service requester, what kind of delays are we getting if we're actually passing this request out of Kix along HTTP or MQ, and when we get our response back before we send that back to the service provider. So there's a number of issues that we need to look at in terms of going through an SOA implementation, and we will move on to those. If we move on to screen number 7, we here effectively have three methods of development of web services. And we've called these top-down, bottom-up, and meet-in-the-middle. And this is where customers will look at the approaches that they've got and see how they fit into their current environment. So it may be that a customer already has a number of existing WSDL files, and therefore a top-down approach would probably be the best way for them to move forward. With this approach, the development starts with the WSDL. Users will define the interface and create the WSDL, then create a web service application based on that interface. The interface will be well defined, but will need to create the whole service provider application. So there we're going to have some new Kix code using the new language structure. The alternative to that is the bottom-up approach, where we create the WSDL from an existing application. The WSDL will be created based on the interface which the application uses. It's the easiest way to implement a web service, but the interface to the service requester may not be the most suitable. And there we get to the meet-in-the-middle approach. And here we can use an existing application to create WSDL for us. What this does is uses a better interface for the service requester. In this case, a wrapper program will be used to convert the existing application interface to and from the interface to the requester. It will have both advantages of the other approaches, with a more suitable interface and probably a lower development cost. So on those screens, I'm hoping I've given you an overview of what it means to Kix users to have an SOA implementation within Kix, how to use web services, and some considerations on wanting to be able to implement web services within Kix. What I want to move on to now is to talk about the type of tools that we have that are available to help you support the new functionality of SOA within Kix and to help you identify those applications that will be used to form the basis of your web services. So if we move on to screen number 8, we've got a few statements there that talk about the tools that we have in the KIX tools portfolio. And I just want to take a brief moment just to highlight some of these. We have an ability to identify candidate applications for new function exploitation. So with this, we'd be using KIX Interdependency Analyzer to look at the applications that we currently have and to understand how their flow is. What we can do with this product is to actually see the fact that we have a number of common routines within our applications that we may want to consider as a web service implementation. Now, once we move down the path of implementing a web service and making changes to that application by generating the WSDL and WSBind files, we'd also want to know how that application now runs as a web service as opposed to the original program. So we could use KIX Performance Analyzer to show the kind of TCB usage or performance issues that we actually have with that application now that it's been fully migrated to a web service. These products, along with KIX Configuration Manager, can also help us to identify and then simplify the management of the resource definitions, not only in a KIX environment, also in a KIX Plex environment for those customers who are using CPSM. As you recall, we talked about on the earlier screens, we talked about the fact that we need resource definitions in terms of pipeline definitions, URI map definitions, and web service definitions. So these tools together will help us in determining how we need to go about identifying which applications we're going to use for an SOA implementation, and once they have been implemented as such, how we can then make sure that they are performing as we expect them to. Obviously, this isn't the only features of all of these KIX tools, but this helps us in an SOA implementation. If I move on to slide number 9, I think this is really going to start to discuss a sample scenario about how we would actually move to web service capabilities in Transaction Server version 3. We're going to convert existing KIX business logic into web services. So we're going to take a few products here and have a brief look at them and see how they play in this arena. Now, in the next few slides, I'm probably going to mention a number of products, some of which are not within the KIX tools portfolio, some fall in the WebSphere portfolio, and some in the problem determination portfolio. It's not my intention here to go into great detail about these tools individually, but just to show them as they would be used in an SOA implementation. If anyone requires further information, then you're more than welcome to send me a question via my email, and I'll be quite happy to provide you with further information. So let's just run through what we might be looking at in terms of a sample scenario, and I'll identify the products that you can see there, which have only been nominated by their acronyms. In the WebSphere environment, we have Application Transformation Workbench and WebSphere Studio Asset Analyzer. Now, both of these products can be used to identify business processes that can be exposed as web services and actually componentize them. KIX IA, or Interdependency Analyzer, will provide us with an application topology and program linkage to determine a set of programs to be exposed as web services. So this will tell us about the application as it runs. And then WebSphere Developer for Z-Series can be used to develop these programs as KIX web services, as we actually take the application and we've generated our definitions and our WSBind and our WSDLs, and we want to run these programs through and actually possibly do some debugging on them. As we then move on, we need to create the required resource definitions. So Kix Configuration Manager can be used there in order to help us take these definitions, define them, create them, bundle them up into a package, and then move them into the different environments as we go through the development cycle. Now, once we've completed our development cycle and we actually have a running application, we then can use Kix Performance Analyzer, in particular the web services reports that are used with it, to provide performance data for our new application, for our new web service, to see if we have any areas there that we need to address in terms of performance. As I mentioned, now we've moved to an SOA environment, there are probably new issues that are going to come up in terms of the functionality of the complete application. And then later on, any further performance problems, we could probably take a look at using Application Performance Analyzer. So, again, let me stress, you're not having to use all of these tools to actually implement an SOA within Kix, but it would be useful if some of them were available to you to actually help you with the implementation. So let's move on to slide number 10. And what we have with slide number 10 is the fact that we are looking at WSAA. What's happening here is that we've got WebSphere Studio Asset Analyzer looking at some existing code that we actually have. So we've taken our existing application and we're now browsing that application and actually looking at the program source. So from the screen that you can see here, there's a number of bits of data about that program that we can actually use. We can view the source, we can view program data elements, and we can show control flow diagrams and structure diagrams. So it gives us a good idea of whether this particular program is going to be a good candidate to run as a web service. And this is using the explore function of WebSphere Studio Asset Analyzer. The particular screen we're looking at here is actually looking at MVS assets, but the product also can analyze distributed assets such as Java classes, HTML files, or WebSphere application server cells. So WSAA could help us in terms of being able to look at the source. Now, in today's applications and today's companies, there's been a lot of merging taking on. And what's happened here is that we've probably got a number of systems that we don't know a vast amount of detail about. And in some cases, it may be true to say that possibly not all the source for these systems is there. So if we move on to slide number 11, this is giving us an overview of Kix Interdependency Analyzer. And Kix IA has a collector interface that runs during the execution of your Kix programs. What this actually does is it collects the information about the executing program via means of interrogating API and SPI commands so that it can actually build up a flow of exactly what resources that program is using when it actually executes. So this gives us the ability to build a view that we have of our application. One of the things that we need to be aware of course, is the fact that this is only at execution time, and the execution of a program may be different on one day to the next. So if we're talking about a payroll program, it may run differently halfway through a month as opposed to the end of the month. So what we have there is then we have a backup in terms of having a scanner on the application load library. So once we've identified those applications and programs that we need, that we feel are going to be good to use as a web service, we can then just have a sanity check to make sure that we haven't missed anything within that application. We also have a query interface with Kix IA, and this enables us to look at the data that we've actually collected so that we can see if we've got every resource that we actually need to say, create a package in Kix Configuration Manager, so we can then migrate that package through to the next environment for SOA. If we move on to slide number 12, this screen is showing us a sample output from the query interface. And what we've queried here is the fact that we've got a program and which file it uses. And we've expanded the view on this query to show the type of function that the program actually does. So in this case, it does a read, it does a read for update, and it does a rewrite. If there were any more resources within this particular program or this particular transaction, we could also query them as well from the panel that you see on the 3270 interface there. However, we don't just restrict those queries to a 3270 interface. If we move on to slide number 13, we can actually see that we provide you with some sample queries that you can run by a DB2 interrogation tool such as Spoofy. And the reason for this is that once we've collected this data, we have a utility that will load it into predefined DB2 tables for us. Once you're familiar with these tables and the columns that are in them, then you can construct any type of query that you want in order to get the results that you need. So once we've collected the data, there's really no limit to the type of queries you can run, so that you can do various interrogations on the data and get all the answers that you want from that data once it's been put into the tables. So those two products, WSAA and Kix IA, give us the ability to look at the current applications that we have and make decisions as to whether they would be good candidates for an SOA implementation, irrespective of the fact whether we have the source or not. If we move on to slide number 14, slide number 14 is now showing us an example of the JCL that we use to run the Web Services Assistant. And there's a number of items on there that I'm just going to run through very briefly. If we go down to the input for the sysut1 statement, we'll see that we have a pdslib which is pointing us to the source library where our application copybooks reside, so we can build our SOA implementation from the structures that this application is actually using. What we do here is that with the request member and the response member, dependent upon whether we are building a web service provider or a web service requester, one of those will be the valid statement, which is why both have the same name in at the moment. So they point to the member within that particular source library, which tells us which member to use in terms of generating the files. As you can see, that the name of this program that we execute is DFH-LS2WS, so source2WS. We've got a number of other statements in there. The language that we're using is COBOL. We have a log file that resides on the HFS datasets. We've got a mapping level in there, and there's only three levels of mapping at the moment. The one that's showing there now is the default mapping level, and this specifies the level of mapping that we use when generating the web service binding file and web service description. We also have in there a program name, so the name of the program that we're using, and then we've also got our URI identifier in there. So this parameter is the relative URI that the client will use to access the web service. Kix will use this value when it generates a URI map resource from the web service binding file. So we'll actually be creating a URI map resource with that particular name. We've also got a parameter there that talks about the channel and the COM area, And for a service provider, this is specifying how KIX passes data to the target application program. And here we're using a comm area implementation. And then the last two parameters that you can see there are the names of the WSBind file and the WSDL file. And they are the two files that will be created when we successfully run this particular procedure and we take the input from the copybook that we've been using. So once we've actually run this, if we then move on to screen number 15, we can actually see the names of the files that have been created in the HFS dataset. So here now we've got inquire catalog and inquire single and place order bind files. So that's what we'll end up with once we've run that procedure. And you can go in and browse these files to have a look at the data that's within them to familiarize yourself with the contents of these files. Okay, let's move on to slide number 16. Now what you can see in slide number 16 is the fact that we've got our pipeline services. So we've created web services, and these exist in the KIX region. As you can see, they correspond to the names of the WSBind files that we've been using, and they're actually given generated names. Now there's two ways of implementing this. You can issue a pipeline scan command within KIX. So that will be automatically go through and search down the pipelines that exist. It will scan the pickup directory and look for web service binding files. And then once it finds the binding file, KIX determines whether to install the web service resource. So that will go through and implement those web service definitions for us. So what we've done now is effectively we've taken an existing application's data structure, we've created our bind files for it, we've created some resource definitions that are going to support it. Now we need to move on to actually go through and try and debug the program. And if we move on to slide number 17, here we've got an example of using WebSphere Developer Debugger for Z-Series to actually run through and debug the program. Now, Developer Debugger for Z-Series is an extension which runs from on the back of the debug tool for Z. But the reason for putting this in here is that it shows us the ability of being able to actually run this code on the workstation so that we can also run it alongside standard Java code as well, so that we can have a full integration window into our KIX region, and we can debug multiple programs once we're starting to implement them. So we've got the ability here to connect to a application program running on a KIX system, and from there we're going to debug the program and run through it. So that shows us the debugging of our new application now that we've converted it to an SOA implementation. Now what we've also talked about is the resource definitions that we need to implement. If we move on to slide number 18, we can see that we have an overview here of KIX Configuration Manager. And this is going to be used to help us move those new definitions from our test environments into our production environments. As you can see from the overview, Configuration Manager works with both CSDs and CPSM's data repositories. What it does is it gives us the ability to bundle together these resources into migration packages and move them from environment to environment. If we have problems with these implementations, we also have a backup capability. But the resources that we actually define will stay in their natural environment. That is, a KIX resource will remain on the CSD file, and a CPSM resource will remain on the data repository. Configuration Manager does not keep those resources in any other repository. It leaves them there and just keeps tracking the changes from within Configuration Manager. So our resources remain in their natural locations. If we move on to slide number 19, we can actually see now that we're creating a pipeline resource from within one of the Kix Configuration Manager panels. So we can create these resources in Kix Configuration Manager, and it will put them into the correct CSD. What we need to do then is, once we've defined all of those attributes and resources, we can then put them together in a package and then migrate that package through the environments so that we know that we've actually moved the correct resources into the correct environment. So that takes us through the migration of the application and the definition of the resources. What it's actually done now is given us an environment where we have a SOA implementation. But what we need to do now is actually look at the post-implementation. And if we move on to slide number 20, we'll talk about Kix Performance Analyzer. And Performance Analyzer gives us a number of reports that look at the SMF data that Kix collects from our applications and our systems. So here we have web services applications, Kix web support enhancements, and channel container usage, program request channel activity. Kix Performance Analyzer comes with a number of canned reports which you can modify, but will very easily pick up that data for you and provide you with examples of how these applications are running. If we move on to slide number 21, here we have an overview of Kix PA, and this shows us that a number of systems, the CMF data we collect, and also Kix statistics, and data from the system logger, DB2, and WebSphere MQ, all write to SMF, and Kix PA, through a series of ISPF dialogues, then reports on that data. Within PA, we've got a historical database capability, because I think most of us will probably understand the concept of how fast Kix applications and Kix systems write SMF data today. And the SMF data sets tend to wrap around very quickly. So we can extract from the SMF data sets and keep it in a historical database that is under our own control. Once we've got that data there, we can then export it to DB2 tables or comma-separated files, CSV files. There is, on the Kix Tools portfolio website, a link to the Kix PA support pack that will take you step-by-step in going through this. But what I want to look at now briefly is a couple of the reports that you might be looking at once you've actually implemented an SOA application. If we move on to slide number 22, we can actually see here that we've got a web support activity, a request activity report. And we can see of the transactions that are running, we've got the number of transactions that are running there. They're issuing web receives, the number of characters in, the number of sends, the number of characters out, and totals. So we've got a very quick way of reporting on how our new application is actually running as a web service. If we move on to slide number 23, we can then see the CPU analysis for the same transactions. So within this report, we've got response time and dispatch times, and also suspend times as well. So as I mentioned earlier, we may have, particularly where Kix is now also acting as a web service requester, we may have some additional issues in terms of what suspends might we get in terms of issuing requests to other systems, and how fast is that response coming back into our Kix system. So Kix PA will let you look at all of these in great detail. Okay, let's move on to slide number 24, and this is just the summary slide. So what I've hopefully taken you through today is a possible scenario where you may go to migrate an application to SOA. Both the Kix and Z-Series tools will help you with this, and I hope that today's presentation has given you some idea of how you may go about that. As I mentioned earlier, it's not a one-size-fits-all. You may want to choose one of the three approaches in terms of web services development. You may already have a number of clients that already have a number of WSDL files. So therefore, obviously the first approach will be better for you. But if you're coming at it as a new user to SOA, then hopefully today's presentation will have given you some idea of how you could go about it. Slide number 25 is further information on the Kix Tools products that I've mentioned. But again, as I've said, I haven't restricted this to Kix Tools. I've also included other tools. If you require further information on this, then I'll be more than happy to take email requests for further information. And that really does bring me up to the end of the presentation. I'd like to thank you for your attendance today. I hope that you found it interesting. And in a few moments, we'll begin a question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. And our first question is, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment to calculate your results. Question number 2. How was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And again, we'll pause. Question 3. IBM offers a broad portfolio of Kix tools, some of which were discussed during this teleconference. Which tool was of most interest to you? If Kix Interdependency Analyzer, press star 1. If Kix Performance Analyzer, press star 2. If Kix Configuration Manager, press star 3. If Kix VSAM Transparency, press star 4. And if you are interested in several tools, press star 5. And if you are not interested in the tools discussed during this teleconference, press star 6. And we'll pause. Question 4. Which describes your current environment as it relates to evaluating Kix tools? If looking for new tools or enhanced functionality to support my Kix-based web services implementations, press star 1. If you want to replace current tools with more cost-effective options, press star 2. If looking for tools to help migrate to new release of Kix TS, press star 3. If you do not require new tools or enhanced functionality for Kix, press star 4. If none of the above, press star 5. We'll pause. And our fifth question is, IBM is currently offering a limited time free trial download of the Kix tools. Would you like to receive a link to the trial download website? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. We'll pause for just a moment. And our sixth and final question is, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at this time. Once again, that is star 1 for a question, and we'll pause for just a moment. We'll take our first question from Frank Cosimano with IBM. Please go ahead. Frank, please go ahead. Your line is open.
I'm sorry, I didn't respond to that, so I didn't have a...
Okay, thank you very much. We will move on to Charles Miawa.
Hello, Peter?
Yes, please go ahead, sir. Your line's open.
Peter, this is Charles Miawa here. We're trying to implement WSDL and trying to use CICS as... not a request about a provider, service provider. We have taken our one application, which is Com Area based, and we've built the WSDL bind file. And our question to you is, can we implement, in essence, we'd like to be able to consume that web services directly from, say, a .NET based application, or from a Java application without going through an intermediate, web server. Is that possible?
Sorry, this is Satish Tanna. I'm sort of standing in and helping Pete Siddell. Yes, this is possible. In fact, we have demos that we show Kix Web Services being invoked from a .NET or a Java client. And if you ever at any of the transaction and messaging conferences, if you stop at any of the Kix booths there, you'd be able to see that demo.
Okay. Where can we get hold of those demos and maybe a procedure how to consume that from .NET or Java?
Probably best if you send an email to Pete Siddell.
Okay.
I think that is available to you on that presentation.
Yes, we see that.
And then we can respond to you on how you can get hold of that.
Okay. That's been our challenge right now, trying to develop a proof of concept. We've got a whole slew of Com Area-based applications. We'd like to expose some of them at least to a web service. And the challenge here was how to implement that without a web.
Well, right now, when we try to, like, usually what we'll do, like, if I have developed a lot of Java web services,
mm-hmm,
consumed in .NET, what you usually do is you give the address, like HTTP, and then host address, and then port number, and then web service name, ?WSDL. That's how we are used to consuming the web services from .NET. And when we try to do this on CICS web service, it gives an error.
Okay. Well, you should be able to consume them from a .NET client. And in fact, there is an example that we use. We use a sample application in Kix to actually expose the application as a web service and then invoke it from either a J2.NET client. And we can give you some details on how you can do that. So if you send an email to Pete Siddell, then we can respond to that.
Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay.
And there are no other questions in the queue at this time, but I'd like to give everyone another opportunity. If you do have a question, please press star 1. And again, we'll pause for just a moment. And it appears we have no other questions today, so that will conclude our conference. I'd like to thank everyone for your participation. Have a great day.